Welcome back to another episode of the Vegapreneur Podcast, the podcast for vegan entrepreneurs who want to change the world and build a mass movement around what they believe in. I'm actually your host, Oz, and this is the second episode of my conversation with the vegan bros. They have value spitting out of their ears. And again, if you haven't checked out the first one, make sure you go back because you need to understand the concepts of the first episode to actually build up, because right now we're going a lot deeper into the ideas, the concepts, and what you need to know and apply to become a fully fledged vegan entrepreneur. Without further ado, make sure that you take some notes, make sure that you actually, more than learn, actually know these concepts and then take action to apply them. Again, I will remind you at the end of this episode, but it's important that you keep that in mind during. Game day comes, like, no one can stop me. Is that something that you've experienced? Is it just like constant process of overcoming different shit, and then if it fails, let's just pick it back up?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And 100%.
And those lessons, you tell yourself ahead of time, like, we're going to be able to, you know, we can handle anything. But dude, there will be moments where you will be
pushed to the limit,
tested.
And those
we've been through those.
And those are the moments. Those are the moments. It's like that gives you the perspective for your failures. The deeper you go into failure and into like just feeling just hopeless and just miserable and just like you're just at the fucking bottom. The deeper you can go into that shit, the higher you can rise. The valleys of life, they give you the perspective for the mountains. So if you've only allowed yourself to go into just like, oh, I've failed a little bit, or I've had some failures here and there. If that's all you've experienced, like there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, if that's all you've experienced, you can only go so high in life. If you fucking gone to the fucking valley where you're on the fucking edge and you're fucking ready to fucking, I don't even fucking know. I'm about to end it. If you fucking gotten to that point, dude, how high can you go now? Holy shit.
Just think.
Think about how high you can rise. It's like, and that's the thing where it's like, holy shit. It's, yeah, dude.
I mean, if you look at successful people that you're trying to emulate or glean from, if you look at like, I mean, straight up, like we'll look at any billionaire and we're just like, okay, that motherfucker's doing something that almost no one's been able to achieve. You can think whatever you want about them, but they're doing some shit that no one's willing to do. Like, what's going on there? Almost every ultra successful person is going to openly admit that they have fucked up so many fucking times. They could probably talk about it for 24 hours straight and still not cover them all, because what Phil's saying is true. The width that you're able to withstand in life, like the width between the shit and the like the lows and the highs, the wider that is, the more success
amazing
you're going to have.
Yeah.
Because you have so much more context for life. So people who have never experienced failure, which I'll be honest with you, my first few years as an entrepreneur, I literally would say that to our family. Like I opened three gyms and I never experienced failure. And I was like, man, you know, like maybe you just don't really have to fail. Like, yeah, maybe some people don't have to fail. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't say that. I don't tell that story anymore, because we've gone through a bunch of shit while we're figuring stuff out. And it really, I mean, man, making it through the lows is almost more exciting and more rewarding than the highs. And that's another thing they all say, dude.
Yeah,
they all successful people, that it all sounds cliche, like Tim saying it. It's like,
yeah,
being like weathering the storm.
Yeah.
Weathering the storm is just what it's all about.
Oh yeah, man. Just feeding off your energy, man. It's just so hard to picture yourself in front of a desk and writing a book. Now, where, out of all the things that you decided to do, like starting an online store, starting fitness centers, really spreading your message and really going after the goal of dominating veganism across the world, why out of anything did you guys decided to start a book?
Well, that's a crazy story in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, it's like we have become so clear about who we are and what we want to do in life, where our goal in life, it's our mission. We want vegan world domination. We're fucking getting that shit. And the world is changing. But this is our like, it's, in a way, it's like our first, I don't want to say attempt, but like our first like big, bold action of like,
this
that's
is the
what we're
big,
fucking going after.
This is the, in our minds, in our publisher's minds, in our agent's mind, in several of our friends who have been at the top of the animal advocacy world for years, I mean, they all see it. This is us putting all of our fucking cards on the table. This is a culmination of everything that we've been through and learned, and it's associated with our mission, and we're just putting it out there. It's also our entry point into the next phase, really, because things are going to get crazier after this. But we launched Vegan Bros in September of 2014, and we spent, you know, we launched, we had our mission, but we're trying to figure shit out. And we were in Hawaii. Okay, so this is crazy. To like the first time we monetized Vegan Bros, we actually built, which was kind of our flagship course, the Ultimate Vegan Fat Loss course. And that was our flagship course for the past few years. We built that shortly after launching Vegan Bros and kind of spent the first 7 months just adding value to people for free. And so that's what we did. While we were doing that, we built out the course. I had this thought one day where we kind of realized like, holy shit, like, we don't have to just like live in the same place. Like, we're not tied to an office. Like, we don't need to be somewhere for a specific job. Like, we can live wherever we want. So we just got this thing in our head where we thought it would be sweet to make money from the beach. So we rented out, we found a place, we found an apartment in Kona on the Big Island of Hawaii and rented it out for 2 months and went there to launch our course. While we were there, we ended up getting an email from an assistant editor at a publishing house in New York, basically indicating that she had been following us and she wondered if we had thought of writing a book.
And that's where that started.
That's where the shift in our head started. And basically we just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, as an entrepreneur, you don't necessarily know, you want to be open. Like, you have your mission, but you don't exactly know every dotted I and cross T of what you're going to do and where things are going to take you. And you need to be open to serendipity. And that's really where the book idea started. And instantly we knew that we didn't just want to write
a fitness book
or a general book. We wanted it to be something we were passionate about. And that's kind of where it built from.
That's where it came from.
Now, Tim says a lot, just going with Tim, he says a lot that if you're going to write a book, you got to go 100%, right? You can't just write the book just to get the PR. You actually have to write it to position yourself and get and really deliver the value to people, right? So just with so many fitness books around you, how did you go about tackling, say, the vegan? Because of course, like if you go on Amazon, there's so many books about veganism, right? And not to take away from your book, but how exactly were you able to find that opening where no one was talking about it?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think we both think that like our perspective on veganism and the vegan movement is extremely unique. I mean, we've had a weird ass fucking life. We basically, I don't know if you've seen the documentary. There's a documentary called Jesus Camp. Have you watched that at all?
No, absolutely not. I'm going to write that right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking watch that shit.
It's on Netflix, I think.
It's crazy. But anyways, it's like Jesus Camp. Yeah. So it's like, literally, some people would consider it like a quasi cult on the extreme fringe of Christianity. So we're not characterizing
like Christianity or religion generally speaking.
No,
we were on a quasi cult. Like we were on the edge.
We were on the fringe, and like we spent years just like resenting. Like we escaped. Our entire family escaped it. Well, we spent years and years and years resenting it and, you know, blaming that, you know, it's like, I blame that for, you know, part of why I was shy and like all this shit that was fucked up about me. But eventually we've gotten to this point where it's like, that shit has given us such a unique perspective and understanding on everything. And so we sort of view the way we view veganism, the way we view life is so unique that it's like, you know, writing this book, it's just, you know, it's not hard. It's not like we're trying to differentiate ourselves. It's just like the book that we write, it's going to be.
This is not a grandstand or like some self-absorbed statement. When we take a look at the outlay of different niches, no one was speaking in the language we were speaking, with the tone we were speaking, with the knowledge and background. Like, we, you know, pairing, like, I was like, we both went vegan in a small town. We were raised in a quasi cult. I was an entrepreneur before I was vegan.
I lived out of a car for 4 years doing activism.
And straight up, dude, all we can say is our incredibly interesting life has informed our message in a way that no one can touch right now. And I don't mean that we don't mean that nobody can have a massive impact. People can have a way more massive impact than us. But we just found this unique place that is authentically us. And you like, if you pay attention to the language we use, especially when you read this book, we walk this line of being able to get inside someone's heart and someone's head, being able to be a straight shooter with them, but also having them feel endeared to us and like, holy shit, like what you guys are saying resonates with me. You're saying it right to my face, but I love you for it.
And we're not, you know, it's like, we're not judging anyone. We're, you know, we just want to be friends with everyone. And it's like, part of our whole vibe is that like, you know, most people are opposed to animal abuse. Like being vegan isn't extreme. Like nobody thinks it's extreme. And the thing is that if you're opposed to animal abuse, you're already 90% vegan. Your diet's just the last 10%. And I think when you get across that vibe, which that's the vibe that we get across to people, it's like, we're not judging people. So it's just a different.
And really that comes down to a nuanced outlook of life and a nuanced outlook of how we see veganism and how we see veganism infiltrating culture. We do not view veganism as a sacrifice. It is not troubling for us. We have embraced life more fully. We are living the lives that we want to live. We are enjoying life more. We feel better about the people and the animals and the environment and everything. We just feel more fulfilled about life. So basically, Vodka is Vegan, a manifesto for better living and not being an asshole, is just like, dude, it's a fucking party. And we invite you to check it out. And we're not judging you. You're on your own journey. But we think that you're probably vibing with what you're saying. Because even if you're like a factory farm owner, like one of those farmers who owns a bunch of factory farms, who's seeing, you know, their minds have been clouded by, you know, this is the business I have to be in for my family. And, you know, they kind of start to see the pigs and the cows as just numbers or part of their system. But who's in the fucking passenger seat of their truck when they're driving to places and they're, you know, checking on the farm? Their fucking dog. And their dog is their best friend. We know that vibe of people's connection to animals is inside and it's dormant in everyone. And this book brings it out of people without reservation. We are straight up saying like, dude, I mean, you know, we've taken the brunt of some judgment and hate from vegans.
Within the vegan community.
Because we have a big tent policy. We welcome people in because we know what legalism and rules feel like to people. We know what fear feels like to people.
That's how we were raised.
That's our entire upbringing, dude. We were emotionally manipulated and abused by the leadership at our church and in our upbringing. So like, we know what it's like to be like, we know what it's like to be down and out and to, you know, feel that way a bit and to feel judged. And dude, when you extend your hand and you just like, you just want to be friends with people and you want to hear their story and you want to help them live their life better and figure themselves out. What ends up happening is at the end of the day, you have a fuckload of friends and you have a bunch of people who are inspired by you and want to be like you.
And they want to go vegan. It's all about the love.
Oh yeah, man. I'm so joyful that you actually brought that concept up because just before recording getting on this call, man, I was recording the previous interview. I was talking about, man, it's easy to just look at what other people are doing, do your market research, and then just try to do one extra mile of that.
Oh, totally, dude.
But then when you're positioning yourself from your standpoint and just looking from the inside, it's just so easy to create a whole game from yourself and just completely annihilate all competition, right?
That's fire, dude.
We've been talking about that shit. It's like, that's a thing in veganism. It's a thing where there's a box. It's like the vegan box or the vegan bubble. And it's like, there's very specific ways of doing things and there's nothing wrong with the ways of doing things. And we can learn a lot by watching different people doing different things. But it's like people just, they see one way and they're like, oh, I'm going to copy that. Or they see this way, I'm going to copy that. And it's like, no, dude, you got to be true to who you are. That's where it's at. And like, that's what we're doing. We're just being true to ourselves. And it's fucking, and it works in our everyday lives. Honestly, it works in our everyday lives. And straight up, dude, I'm going to be like, like the high level, we view what we're about to do as like, we're about to fucking break that. We're about to break out.
Break out in the mainstream.
Dude, the high level mainstream, like the motherfuckers that the highest level people can't reach, like those are the motherfuckers, they're coming out of the woodwork right now and they're like trying to fucking help us. So it's like,
weird stuff happening in our lives.
There's weird shit happening right now. And it's like, we do view it like what you're saying. It's like, we're not just going out and we're trying to copy what other people are doing. We're doing it. We're doing things our way.
It's coming. Yeah. It's coming from within us. And this is really interesting. I like what you said's fire, dude, because we've just been talking lately about how most of the world, we're taught since we're little kids to look outside of ourselves. Look at the problem they have. Look at the problem that family has. Look what that kid's doing.
It's their fault.
Look what that guy's doing. Yeah. It's like, blame it on every, play the blame game. Everyone, we've got a world of victimhood. But when, I'm not saying you have to, you can do whatever you want in life. You need to figure life out for yourself. But what we found is when you let go of judging others and letting others judge you and actually embodying that and realize like, dude, your opinion of me is none of my business. And when you look inside of yourself, by the way, that's a quote from TD Jakes, which
TD Jakes.
Bishop TD Jakes. We get our inspiration from like all everywhere. Over the place. but that was one of my favorite quotes ever. Uh-huh. But when we look inside of ourselves for anything, dude, and in veganism, it's so true that, you know, we're taught, because we were both taught this early on in our vegan journey, is you go vegan and then you forget the fact that you weren't vegan a few days ago. And then you start calling motherfuckers out. Like, you're not vegan. You're not vegan. Yeah. Do it. Do it. You do it. An and it's like, it is part of the process because we're learning. But what we found is when we go inside and we start to change ourselves and to say like, you know, the world is the way it is. What can I control? I can control myself, how I feel about myself, how I feel about the world, how I feel like what I can do, what I can contribute, what I can do. When we look inside, dude, the world fucking changes before your eyes.
Oh man, I wish we could stop time and just completely expand the ship. Guys, now you did mention a point of like going back into yourself, and a lot of all the successful people, I think we could agree, have a specific moment in their day, either it's in the morning, at night, where they meditate, close off all distractions, and just focus on whatever their inner voice is saying. If you guys could give one exercise, one tip, what do you guys do to mitigate all these distractions and really focus on what's important?
Oh man, just one.
That's kind of a newish. That's a newish, more of a established process for us.
For us, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like I've started getting into like getting really big into a morning routine. I've started, you know, it's fucking weird, dude. I've started fucking meditating, started fucking doing yoga. I go on really long walks. Honestly, straight up, one thing, mm-hmm. Go on a walk. Even if it's just 5 minutes. If you're feeling stressed out, you're feeling depressed, whatever. Doesn't matter. Even if you're feeling good, honestly, if you're feeling good, that's when it's even better. But going on a walk, just going outside and going on a walk. My walks, sometimes they're an hour. Sometimes they can even be 2 to 3 hours. But if you can just go on a walk for 5 minutes, that will change your life. If you do that consistently over time, and just in the matter of those 5 minutes, you can go from being totally stressed out to realizing like, okay, I'm still a little bit stressed out, but things are not as bad as I thought. And that's no momentum. You're picking up the momentum where now things can start to get better and better and better and better. So the one thing I would say, go on a walk.
And I think the one thing I would say, because there are several things that we're experimenting with and that we really like. One thing that I can say concretely, that is true for both of us, and we've adopted it more and more, is we grew up rushing to everything and being late for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And since we shifted and said like, hey, you know, if we got a meeting, if we have to like meet our agent at like 9 o'clock, instead of me getting up at 8 and rushing around and getting there late and being stressed the fuck out when I get there, I can get up at 6 and take a fucking 15 minute shower and relax my way into the day. And to the meeting and you're just like, there's no stress. You're feeling good. When we travel, like instead, like we grew up rushing to the airport and thinking like, oh man, I can't wait to get where I'm going. And it's like, dude, we just learned to just plan our days, plan our lives in a way where we can find joy in those moments.
And it's like, when you plan to like arrive early to a meeting or to an event or whatever, there's no, it's like, you can, if it takes an hour to get there, you're stressed out for that entire hour. Like, oh my God, I need to get there in time. I mean, I'm going to be late, But if you plan to like get there a half hour in advance or even an hour in advance, you're just easing into it. You're in a good vibe. You're relaxing into the meeting, into the event. So go on a walk and
plan to arrive
early.
Plan
early. Oh yeah, man. Yeah. It's all about treatment. It's all about prevention more than treatment. I think a lot of people are like thinking of the trick, like, what can I start doing now? But man, the best investment you could have ever made was 20 years ago. Again, the second time is best now. But again,
For sure. That's
also, I get massive amounts of relaxation, and I do some of my best meditating in hot tubs at night. Ooh. looking at the stars. But I don't have a hot tub here in LA, so you know, I make do.
Sick, man. Guys, now what, like, I'm just fired up. I wish we could go on this. You talked about momentum. That could be a whole different conversation. What is the best number one way people could reach out to you? And actually, when is your book coming out?
So the book comes out June 5th. You can get it. I mean, Amazon,
Barnes & Noble, all the, you know, mm-hmm. It's going to be, indie, I mean, it's going to be everywhere. Yeah,
it's going to be in the description. It'll be in the description also.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. And our website's veganbros.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Woot woot! If you did enjoy this episode with the Vegan Bros, make sure that you go DM them on Instagram at Vegan Bros. Go follow them. Go let them know how much value you've gotten from this episode. Likewise for me, if you did enjoy the Vegapreneur podcast, make sure that you go on at Vegapreneur on Instagram and you let me know how much value you've gotten from this episode. I love hearing from you guys. If you want to leave a comment, go follow, go download this episode. It makes a world of a difference. Helps people find the podcast on anywhere you find podcasts in general. If you do want to pick up their amazing book, it's called Vodka is Vegan, a great book on their journey from fast food to veganism, and also from their journey as entrepreneurs. You can go check it out at book.veganbros.com. That's book.veganbros.com. It'll also be in the description down below. Thank you so much for listening to the Vegapreneur podcast. Make sure again that you take 20 seconds, not even 30 seconds, 20 seconds to write down anything that you've picked up on during this episode and write down how you're going to apply it to better your life and grow that community. It's really important to more than just learn, right? Because it's easy to cram things in your head, but also know by applying and then teaching it to others. Hope you enjoyed it. Take care. Keep killing it.